I'm a rapper, I'm not a poet. Poet, I'm not a rapper. Guess it's opposite there, cause you niggas just got it backwards. Got me sick to my stomach. Go up on my lana. New trios, free or the most terrible tandem. Deliver shock value, but no, not Timberland. Critical observation alerting you ambulances. Clap on and clap off. Rap on and rap off. Hard times for hard rhymes, that concrete, that asphalt. If I did look twice, I guess that's her asphalt. May I assist you and score, get my pass out. Matter of fact, it's what you need. Need some rest, you just fatigue. See, technically, I'm filing Mrs. Wallace, I'm Rashid. Know this beat is a banger. Have no reason for anger. If I'm slightly deterred, you know I'm giving a finger. Call my savage like Corey, but not a needle to panger. Right like 90 degrees, you in the need of an angle. Need of an angle.
Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast. This is your boy, Tight, and I got my boy, BG, with me. What's going on, BG?
Ow! Free Lunch Podcast. How you feel, boy?
I'm doing all right. Can I get a what happening?
What's happening then? We back up in this thing, man, with another Free Lunch Podcast episode. Hope everybody's enjoying what we've been given thus far.
I hope so too. You know, it feels like it's been a minute since we last recorded. So I'm kind of excited because, like I say, the podcast has always been kind of therapeutic for me. So just to get back on the microphone and be able to share a few thoughts with the people, and hopefully they. But first, let me thank the fans and the supporters that have supported us. But then at the same time, you know, just get back on the microphone and share a few of our thoughts. What you think?
Yeah, we really do appreciate everybody, even those that have, you know, reached out and given us feedback, the criticisms, and then the words of encouragement and things like that. We really do appreciate, and that's going to be the energy that we need to keep pushing this movement, you know, that we presented forward. So we really do appreciate you guys, and we just pray that you continue to keep rolling with us.
And I second that emotion.
Second that emotion.
So, with no further ado, I think it's about that time, sir.
You got something for us for today?
I think I do, but you know, I think based off the topic and what we're gonna talk about, I'm pretty sure you can get a sense of where I'm headed.
You got one that's gonna match what we're talking about today?
100%. 100%.
100%.
And on top of that, it was from the particular group that I'm choosing from. I mean, they got a catalog of hits. So even to narrow down which hit I wanted to do was a challenge. But I kind of went with one that, I don't know, it just, for me, it brings back memories.
Yeah, bring back good memories or bad memories?
Good.
Good memories. The kind that we like. Yes. Good memories.
Yes, good. I'm trying not to bring back any of that other stuff to the podcast, but good.
That's
memories.
Right.
So, you ready?
I'm ready, man. Do it for the vine.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on Vogue's, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you. Yo, mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on Vogue's, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.
And who that is?
Who that
Outcast.
Is? Already elevator. Shout out.
Well, I'm over here bouncing in this thing. Yeah, that bring back some real good memories for sure.
Real good memories
for sure.
And you know why I chose that group? Obviously because of today's topic. You know. Without any further ado, New South Movement, we've gotten a lot of, you know, questions. I'm really centered around what is the New South Movement. So I think it'd only be right and fitting for us to use the actual podcast platform to kind of explain and provide a definition of how we view this whole New South Movement, as far as what it is that you and I are trying to do, you know, the birth of the actual phrase New South Movement, provide a little background history, the role that Outkast has played. I know they played a role, I guess, from just some of the things that you and I have talked about and some of the YouTube and videos we've watched. And then also just provide our definition and exactly what is it that BG and Tight Tight are trying to do when we use the term New South Movement. What you think?
Man, yeah. So because the people have been asking me about what that means. And, you know, it started with me one day being an Instagram novice, trying to find hashtags and stuff to really draw people's attention to the podcast and all those type of things. And so coming from the South and taking pride in where we come from and what we represent and feeling like we were bringing something new and fresh, that brought about the whole New South. And of course we see this as a movement. So just in terms of just the terminology, it was just that thought placed with a hashtag in front of it. But as we'll talk about it, it's really evolved into something more than just though that collection of words put together. So in our vision, it really has become something that we have made the foundation of what we deliver with these podcast episodes, with the blogs that we write, and then just in the way that we have dedicated ourselves to living life on a day-to-day basis. And so we'll go into that definition, but it's really something that is gaining momentum and something that has increased in meaning from the point of when I just was using it on Instagram.
But I think that's my first time I've even hearing how you even came up with the whole phrase, because, you know, for those of you, I kind of wrote a blog providing a definition and a brief history around New South Movement and how I actually became familiar with the phrase. And BG, you kind of just stated it. It was 100% phrase and hashtag that BG came up with. But a lot of listeners don't even know that prior to you and I kind of joining forces and saying, hey, you know, let's combine our individual blogs, because you and I both use aliases to kind of blog and get some of our perspectives out to the universe and to the internet, and we was like, okay, let's kind of join forces, but then let's come up with a platform to share in addition to our blog. Just a different way that we can get some of our thoughts out there. And so just from a history lesson perspective, you know, we would, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we would go back and forth on different ideas via email. And then on this particular day when we were emailing and we were trying to come up with the right platform as well as the right marketing phrase or what have you to kind of promote both the blog as well as eventually what would turn out to be the podcast, the phrase came from New South Movement, something that you kind of shared in email, and it rung a bell with me. So from that perspective, you just kind of came up with that idea, or how did you come up with that idea? Was it strictly based on what you just said?
Yeah, I mean, that was the start of it. It was just as simple as that. But of course, at the heart of it, it is it's the embodiment of what the South, being a Southerner, what it means and what I've experienced growing up in the South and the pride, of course, of coming from this region, but also identifying with the struggle, with the negative that come along with being a representative of the South, the history, the good and the bad history. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things tied into it represent, I'm a representative of it. My words embody all of those things. And so by me presenting through words on the blog and then coming on here and presenting vocally, all of those things have to come out. And what my vision or what I saw, you know, and what I'm seeing more and more as we go further along is that using all of those things that the South means to me creates a storyline, and it creates what you say, like a platform to give to other people, people that also come from here and people that may not have really had exposure to the Southern experience, because there are a lot of lessons. There's a lot to be said coming from Alabama.
Oh, 100%. You
know, the things that we experience as kids, the degree of poverty and lower income that we see coming from here, the degree of separatism and racism and segregation that we have seen even in our lifetimes. And then also just to see the triumphs, to see our parents and our grandparents and friends and aunts and uncles that have come from this situation and have been able to go well beyond what the system said they were supposed to do, or go well beyond society's expectations. So it's kind of a spiritual, interpersonal thing when you really start digging into those words. But when it all began, it was just a simple hashtag for Instagram.
And that's what's just so funny just that about simple. It because you
very ironic,
but it's not ironic because again, that was like I said, I give you 100% of the credit for actually coining the phrase New South Movement, but just taking that actual phrase and being able to say, man, this phrase kind of defines and really represents in a lot of ways what both the blog and the platform, what we're trying to do with both the blog and the platform, podcast platform, and really just saying, okay, the South has a voice as well, and being able to forcefully get our perspective out, provide a Southern culture, and really just say, hey, the South is deeper and more and has more to provide than what we've been given, in my perspective or in my opinion.
Yeah, and the South is for most of us, especially in the African American community, the South is a place of origin for us. Oh, it's the place where most of our families began, the place where most of our grandparents and stuff were born at, things like that. So when you look at our family trees, most of our family trees, the roots are heavy in the South. And then we know historically that in some situations, families migrated north because the North and the Midwest were places to go to get away from some of the BS that was going on in these Southern states too. And rightfully so, because it was some crazy ish going on down here, even, you know, from the Civil War time forward. The South wanted to hold on to slaves, and then the South wanted to hold on to segregation and Jim Crow. So it was all enough reason to want to get the hell out of here. So from that, there's a certain sense of or desire to detach from the South. Mm-hmm. No real motivation to be associated with the South for the most part, because of all of that negativity that's in the history and even the negativity that's attached to current times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really no strong push to really be proud about coming from the South. I can remember times in elementary school where people would be like, you know, they might have had a cousin or something in New York. And if you ain't know him real good, that nigga might tell you he from New York. And you be like, man, I know you ain't from no damn New York.
Right.
But it was a desire to be from New York or be from California. And that dude was really right around the corner from you. And so I think all that just plays along with detachment syndrome of not wanting to be associated with the South. And then you go forward, you look at, you know, when you look at the obesity rates, the Southern states dominate obesity. When you look at poverty, like, you know, the top 10 poorest states, about six or seven of them are Southern states. Mm-hmm. So So here we come again. It's like, who wants to be associated with those things? But we do.
Exactly.
Because like, that's what molds us. That's what we see. And that's been our motivating force in a lot of instances, is those things that everybody else associates with the South has been our motivating force to show you, yeah, we come from that. Yeah, we've been in the face of a lot of those things that you're talking about. But we're going to take all of that to power us to show you, hey, we can compete and be right up here with you. We can be intellectual. We can hold conversations. You know, we can do all those things to the same degree as our counterparts in other parts of the country. And so that's what we aim to do with this, is to bring some intellectual, some thought-provoking topics and issues and present it in a way that makes people be proud about this Southern podcast in this New South movement.
Well, let me ask you this, because I actually can go a lot of ways in at this particular point in the podcast. So I throw out three different things and you tell me what direction you want to go with, because I do want to touch on all three. One of them being why Outkast and the role that they played, and why we use them as an example to kind of push the New South movement. Number two being a definition of New South movement. Or number three being the challenges that we face with trying to be pioneers in this particular platform, right? And trying to be on the forefront of podcasting and sharing our perspective with a audience that may not be as familiar with the podcast platform. So we got kind of three different topics I wanted to discuss in the next 25, 30 minutes, but wanted to really just go based off of which one you think would be a good transition.
Yeah, let's just go definition, challenges, and then round it out with Outkast and the influence of Southern music.
Okay. Well, let me define how I define the New South movement, right? And so for me, you know, when I speak of New South movement, you know, one of the things I said that it's bigger than a single thing. I think a lot of people hear the term New South movement and want to kind of put it in a box and kind of limit what it is we're trying to do. And so from my perspective, I think really to summarize New South movement is really a conscious movement in five different areas, right? So right. It's really trying to bring some enlightenment and some consciousness in five different areas. And that being number one, kind of pushing the Southern culture forward in the podcast. So essentially using podcasts as our platform today to kind of push to kind of provide a Southern perspective. So you mentioned earlier how, you know, a lot of people try to disassociate themselves and detach themselves from the South. And because of that, because of the viewpoint from the outside looking in that others may have. But in a lot of ways, what we're trying to do is push the Southern culture forward, especially in the media or in an East Coast, West Coast dominated media platform, if that makes sense. So the example, I guess, would be with Adrian Peterson and him whooping his kid. And most of the feedback or the perspectives I've heard, whether you agree or disagree with the perspective, but they've been East Coast media or the West Coast biases. And, you know, Charles Barkley, who really in a lot of ways is becoming the voice in the sports arena for Southern culture and just adding a Southern perspective, you know, he kind of said some things that some people from the South and some people may not agree with. But that's one voice of multiple. So in a lot of ways, what we want to kind of do, in my opinion, is push this Southern perspective and viewpoint forward. Whether it be on sports, whether it be on hot topics, whether it be on the various entertainment sectors, but really just providing intellectual voice. and I'll be real quick with the other three, but educate the Southern listeners. So, like, for example, my parents aren't familiar with a platform, with a podcast, and my brother wasn't familiar with the podcast. Shout out to my brother. Now he listens to the podcast. I have siblings and cousins that were not familiar with podcasts, but it's very popular on the East Coast, West Coast. You have thousands and thousands of listeners that listen to it, but really using this as a way to educate them, not only on the podcast, but also to inspire them. You know, this is a dream that I've had, and as part of my calling has been trying to seek out different ways to mentor and coach and to give back to my younger cousins or whomever that may be. So this kind of provides me with a way to not only touch them, but also to touch my mentees and the people that I mentor, and provide a different perspective from what I've learned. But at the same time, living out a personal dream. Last two would be to inspire listeners to live out their truth. So I've really been on a conscious journey just trying to understand what my calling is and what my purpose is. And really, again, using this platform to share some of the things I've learned, whether it be from reading from The Alchemist or just having aha moments or having moments of clarity, but having those moments and being able to share those with the listeners. And then lastly, kind of using the momentum and everything that we've built to be a platform for other Southern artists, that being from Club Monsters to the opening music that we use, to also being who pretty much came up with our current logo that we're using. So once we continue to push this platform forward, being able to have other Southern artists and other Southern acts to be able to promote them and get their perspective out there in the different arts. So I said a lot, and that's really not to take away from your time, BG, but to really provide one perspective and one angle as to what the New South Movement is.
And that's all right, because I somewhat defined it in the opening to go, you know, along with what you were saying. There's somewhat of a historical misnomer when you do talk about this area where we come from, that we lack progression, that we're not progressive. We're not progressive in our thought, and we're not progressive in our action. We drive slow. We talk slow. We do everything slow. So people outside of the region feel like we may be just a slow backwoods bunch. But that's a misnomer. And that just comes from our agricultural history. You know, most of the things that we did were related to farming and agriculture and cattle and things like that in the north.
By the way, which by the way is the number one producer in the world from a monetary perspective is agriculture.
Yeah, and so the progression was more associated with the industrial areas, the areas that were going through, you know, industrialization with the factories and things, mass production and stuff like that. And that was typically in north and things like that. So to defeat that misnomer, to get back around to what we're trying to do is, like you say, have a collective movement of Southern interest to show that progression, to show that we do have artists here. We do have people that are into music and into, you know, painting and drawing.
And a conscious, and it's also conscious too.
And conscious thought on a lot of levels, whether it be on a sociological level, whether it be just in terms of the humanities, you know, math and science, things like that. Like we have all those things locked down, and what we've lacked, in most cases, what we've lacked is just a place to put those talents and those gifts on display as a collective. Most places have a network or channel, a station that's located in a said region, and that's the hub for all of those particular pieces of expression. And we are working on that. We've done well. We've done well in the realm of music, especially in the hip hop genre. We've locked that down to where once upon a time Southern music wasn't being played on any radio stations outside of the South. Mm-hmm. But now you go anywhere and you'll hear the same things that we hear on our radio stations right here where we live. So that has changed. And we've done a good job with locking that part down with entertainment. But now it's a move for, hey, let's expose you all to these other things that we do very well. And so the podcast for us is our avenue to get that out. And also, like you said, to bring other people that we know in our realm that are doing great things and to give them a space to put their stuff on display and share it with the world. So I like that. I like that definition.
Oh, 100%. But you said something, and I think it'll be a good transition into the challenges, right? Because and also using Outkast as an example. But let me ask you this then. Or let me provide a challenge, because to me, the challenge that we have is twofold. You're a pioneer, and you are in a lot of instances, invoking in a platform that's seldomly used in the South. So challenge number one is trying to convince listeners that podcast is essentially a viable platform and getting them to buy into the concept of podcast and listening. But then number two, in a lot of ways, trying not to dumb down any of your thought-provoking conversation, but encourage your listeners to really take a listen to some of our actual podcasts. So how do you handle at least those two challenges, or what are your thoughts on those two challenges? And then even if you have some more that you kind of want to throw out there and we discuss.
The challenges are there.
You understand what I'm saying as far as like podcast, the platform. Yeah, like my mom and my brother, they don't know what the podcast.
And those things are real and they really do exist. And I'll be honest, like, you know, I had listened to a few podcasts, but it was you that really, you know, pressed the issue in terms of this is something viable and it's something that we could do. And maybe some of that was because of your exposure to on a larger scale, exposure to some of those East Coast podcasts that have already been out and been out for a while. And so as a pioneer, that's what it is. And you run into that obstacle because one, you got to educate people on what it is, be it the podcast. Then you got to educate them on how to access it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And all of those type of things. And so those are real obstacles that exist. And I think the only way that you can do it is by, hey, this is what we have. This is what this is. Try this. You can reach it here. You can access it this way and let people try it out. It's just a
new. You
can
listen when you want to listen to it. You don't have to listen to it all at one point. You can pause it and play it, and you can, you know, you can go back and listen to it. It's just so many different avenues and different advantages of a podcast. And even when I explain it to new listeners or people that are not familiar with the actual platform, I kind of describe it as DVR for the radio, you know, and that may be a horrible example. Yeah. But essentially, that's in a lot of ways, that's what it is. It gives you the luxury to pause and play and to rewind and fast forward at your own discretion.
POD podcast, play on demand.
Exactly.
Play on demand. So, yeah, so that's how you overcome that obstacle, is putting it out there and then just being in position and being ready to explain the new concept of what it is and how it works and how it's beneficial to one person's everyday life, how it is a convenience to be able to play on demand as opposed to having to wait on the radio station to play it or put it on. Or try to find the perfect time to get home and get to it. It's just like whenever you're ready. So it's very convenient. So that's that obstacle. And then just the content is just another thing. And that's kind of what we set out to do. We did it because we were sitting around thinking about, you know, man, there's nothing out there that's really talking the stuff that we relate to, or there's nothing out there that's pressing us to think forward, right, or pushing us to the next level. So it's like, where is it? Where is it? It's not really there. So when that happens, you have to step out there and create it. And that's what we have aimed to do, is just step out there and create it, put it out there, put our perspective together. And hopefully, you know, we would have answered somebody else's question about where is it? Where is the quality content? Where is the stuff that I can listen to and I can become better, or something can just sharpen my, you know, my perspective and my thought? And that's what we aim to do. And then that's a perfect segue into, and I don't know if you're done with it, but that's a perfect segue into, you know, you're talking about Outkast and some of that Dungeon Family movement and some of the Southern music from the 90s, from the mid to late 90s. That's what they were up against.
Right.
You know, a different sound, you know, a different content. You know, it was more conscious. It was more socially evolved to where they were talking about things that were going on in the neighborhood in a way that it would make you think about it, reflect on it, and try to figure out ways of how to improve it. And this was coming after booty music, you know, freaking it. So I can only imagine, especially being in Atlanta during that time, and I watched the documentaries, is like, the Outkast that we know today and the success that we've known them to have, and the Goody Mobs and the Killer Mikes, the success that they've had today wasn't the same success that they was having when they first jumped off the porch. Because people were trying to figure out, man, what is this? Based off of Kilo Ali? What? This don't sound nothing like that. That don't sound nothing like that Kilo. So they were up against the same thing. They were definitely up against the same thing.
You said it also, though, just going based off the documentary, when they first presented to L.A. Reid, you know, he was like, no. You know, he was like, hey, they can rap, but that's not where we're headed yet. So it even took them time to get confirmation, I guess, from whomever it is that are the people that decide. And one of the things that kind of stood out with me from watching the documentary, for those that are interested, is on our Blogspot. I mean, if you go to freelunchpodcast.blogspot.com and you look for the New South Movement actual blog post, there's a link to the VH1 special on Outkast. And it's about 45, 50 minutes long. And it explains the story of how Andre 3000 and Bit Boy became Outkast. And that wasn't even their original name. So they kind of reinvented themselves throughout the whole process of becoming the legendary Southern hip hop rap group that they are today. But getting back to your point, they continue to believe in their craft and believe in their skills and continue to actually put out new music that eventually was bought into by those that confirm, you know, whomever those people may be. You know, I'm not a big believer in having someone else validate what it is that you and I or whomever are trying to do. I think that if you follow your integrity and live your truth and you're authentic, then I think that it'll be shown and it'll be seen throughout whatever it is that you are doing from an artistic perspective.
And the music is a microcosm, because they were faced with the same thing that we're faced with. You know, at that time when they were coming out, any rappers that were in, you know, in Atlanta or in the South were trying to sound either West Coast or East Coast, because those were the dominating forces of music, especially, you know, with New York being the birthplace of rap and hip hop. when you come out as an artist, you're trying to sound like somebody in New York or somebody in California to get on the radio. So here these guys come saying, that don't sound like us. We got to sound like what we know. And so they put it out there. And then you get to the point, 95, they win the Source Awards for best album or best new artist. And, of course, the Source Awards is in New York. And so, of course, the folks booing and stuff because that ain't who's supposed to get it. Exactly. Some country boys from Atlanta, Georgia, getting this award. And then Dre.
That's not hip-hop.
That's not hip-hop. But Dre, last statement, walking out of stage, like, you know, he was frustrated because, you know, people just downplaying their skill and downplaying what they were putting into their raps. And his last statement was, the South got something to say.
Yeah,
and that was a monumental statement, and that opened up the doors for a lot of guys that say, you can be from here, you can talk your stuff the way that you know it, be good at it, and make the people respect it.
And you just said something that actually just rung a bell with me, and I was telling you that Oprah is on her 8-city tour, and, you know, I'm going to attend that. I become a real Super Soul Sunday viewer, but One question that Oprah has always said, if they ask her what's the one thing she learned from all the interviews that people have in common, and she said after each interview, the one question she's asked is, how did I do? Or, you know, how did that sound? Everybody wants to be validated, but everybody wants to have a voice and be heard. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And like you just mentioned with Outkast, you know, the last thing that was said when they walked off the stage was the South has a voice too. But because of the powers that be or the quote unquote decision makers, you know, they kind of try to dictate and determine who can be heard and who can't be heard. And because they come from a area, or they may come from a region where they can't connect or understand a particular voice, then a whole group gets pretty much unheard of or not represented. And to take it to even another perspective, you know, they just launched the SEC Network, right?
All right.
The SEC Network, ESPN essentially, you know, heard Paul Feinbaum, his personality and his perspective and what he brings to the sports arena, specifically Southeastern Conference football. And so they decided to essentially hire him. It's reported that he's making on the higher ends of seven figures. But the point that I'm making is that the ESPN has recently said that they see so much growth in the SEC in the Southeastern Conference and SEC Network that they're basically for the next 20, they have a 20-year plan where they're just going to grow that market. And essentially, I say all that to say that even with this current platform, podcast, and this conscious movement that we're doing with the New South Movement, this is an untapped market in the South. You see what I'm saying? And there's so much possibility and so much possibility as well as just opportunity in this market. And in a lot of ways, you know, I think we are leading the way in that way.
And the irony of that is that ESPN is headquartered in Connecticut.
In Connecticut. And if you actually ever read the story, you know, I've read it and I kind of started researching it. You know, it was actually around the time with the Harvey Updike and just seeing how Paul had grown, Paul Feinbaum had grown in the Birmingham area. And some of what they call them suits, right? The suits in New York had heard a few of his episodes, and then that's when the signs went off. like, man, there's really a market in the South. And to your point, the South, to your point to what you said earlier, the South has a voice.
Yeah. But the important thing about that, though, is that the power to move those suits comes from a collective effort. So when we talk about that SEC conference, it's a collective effort of bringing high level competition week in and week out. You know, you don't get to that by having one or two teams that are pretty good. That's not going to make for good. That's not going to make for good TV. That's not going to make for the dollars that make things move. But when you've got at least eight teams year in and year out competing, and you've got these teams ranked high in the top 25 all season long, every season, then there's competition and they're pushing one another. So it's a collective of people that are bringing quality product and they're working in concert. Same thing with the music. When Outkast breaks, they got the entire Dungeon family, and then they got the spinoffs from all of that, and then they're pushing T.I., and the T.I. is pushing the Jeezy, and everybody's just competing at a high level. And so it brings a lot of attention, because when you've got quality, all that other stuff will follow. And so to move forward with us, we've established this platform, and now we need a collective. We need to have people contributing to this thing, people that speak what we speak, that value what we value, to bring their talents, and let's make this thing a collective New South movement.
It's
together,
bigger, exactly,
you know,
exactly,
to create that voice that'll be heard here, there, and everywhere else.
Like you said, it's bigger than you and I.
Right.
And I don't think that, or I'm not sure if we've communicated like we have just now to the listeners and to the supporters, and just even put it out there in the universe, because thoughts become things. So I think that what my takeaway from this entire podcast, and even just from the blog that was written, is that the New South movement in a lot of ways is bigger than you and I, and it can't be placed in a box, because, you know, even though we're using podcasts and blogging as our current platform, because truth be told, I think we're going to grow out of this platform, out of both platforms, into bigger shoes. I think that this is the start of something a lot bigger, but it's bigger than you and I. It's, in my opinion, it's like I said earlier, it's offering other Southern artists and other Southern talent a platform to also get their voice and to get their concerns heard. But at the same time, it's hopefully inspiring youth. For me, my immediate thoughts were to inspire my cousins, and my mentees. But even as those individuals listen, hopefully it inspires colleagues, peers, and listeners to say, hey, I have an idea, I have a thought, and I want to have a purpose, and be able to encourage them to fulfill their purpose.
And this purpose and the movement is not bound by race. Nope. It's not bound by gender. It's not bound by religion. It's really bound by whoever is willing to make this space that we live in a better space. Is reserved for those people that care about the future, that care about the youth and their progress, and is really reserved for those people who care about humanity and where humanity goes from this point forward. So it's open and it's all inclusive if you're dedicated to those things that are going to uplift the communities and uplift our children and our youth and uplift each other.
Right. It's a conscious movement. And like you said, if you listen to a few of our previous podcasts, you will understand some of what our beliefs are and some of the things that we are trying to push forward as part of this Southern culture. We're not pushing forward ignorance. It's not about continuing to bring along the garbage or to bring along the ignorance. But in a lot of ways, it's really trying to, or in 100%, it's trying to push forth a positive Southern perspective. So, I mean, that's pretty much all I got to say.
I like it, man. So hopefully now people have a better grasp on what it means when they see that hashtag New South Movement, and we'll continue to draw on and you'll continue to see it grow and continue to see it express itself. But we really approach this thing as an actual thing put into motion to make our world a better place and to put things on our peers' minds so that when they're in their day-to-day lives and they're in their own personal spaces, that they're thinking about things differently that may actually propel us all to the next level.
Can I leave the people with one question, kind of how I finished it off on the blog?
Yes, sir.
So I guess that question is how will you contribute to the New South Movement? So as an individual, and if you reflect on the gifts and the talents that you've been provided with, and I guess the target audience at this particular point is 100% Southern perspective and Southern listeners, how are you going to contribute to the New South Movement? And however you want to do that, you can always leave a comment under the podcast, or you can send your comments and thoughts as to how you can contribute to the New South Movement at freelunchpodcast@gmail.com, freelunchpodcast@gmail.com, or, you know, BG kind of handled the social media aspect of things. So you can always comment on the social media side at IG or Twitter.
Yeah, Free Lunch Podcast on IG and Free Lunch Pod C on Twitter.
And there you have it.
And if you got our numbers, you can text us too. Shout out to all those that blow that text message up.
Shout out to all
with all that feedback. I appreciate that. That's love. That's love.
All the feedback that we get on the text message, the phone calls we get weekly.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Subliminal message.
Hey, before we end this particular podcast, can I give a shout out to Afro.com?
Do that.
So shout out to Afro.com and to for the listeners that are not aware, BG and I were interviewed by Miss Adina Young. She is one of the authors and writers for Afro.com, which is one of the most popular urban sites in the DC metro area. So in the upcoming weeks or so, you will see a interview that was that BG and I both participated in. So be on the lookout, and once that's published, we'll definitely send an email to the listserv so that you all can actually go back and read that actual interview. But shout out, but also if you do have a moment, go to afro.com and read some of the published articles by Adina Young, who has done some really good writing for that particular site.
Appreciate you.
And I guess I always shout out to D and Club Monster for the intro music that we currently use. Like we mentioned, the intro music that we used is from Club Monster. What's the title of that one, BG?
Yeah, that intro is Chauvinist Clap. It's off of their after their project Canvas. Check out clubmonster.com. Yeah, they have a website, and then they have all of their content, their projects on there. You can listen to them. Check them out. They're a great group out of Birmingham, Alabama. So hit them boys up.
And the logo?
Oh, logo, Diaretto. Diaretto, one of our classmates from college, who's excellent with the pen. She can draw you whatever you want in a quick turnaround. So hit her up, Diaretto, DIAREDDO.com. Check her out.
So one idea, and if you have some ideas or some thoughts on how we can push this movement forward, BJ and I have kind of thrown around the idea of having different intro music for the opening of each one of our. But again, we want to keep it 100% Southern. So if you know some good music or something that you recommend and you got connections with a particular artist, we'll definitely need to get approval from them to use their music. But we're open to using different music to kind of promote the South and keep this movement going forward. And likewise, BG and I have kind of thrown the idea around of how we can improve on the blog spot that we're currently using. So if you have some art or you have some type of drawing or a poem, if you're a writer or some sort and you kind of trying to break into that arena, if it's something that we deem as quality and we deem as being something that needs to be promoted, we'll definitely try to upload it to the blog spot so that others can see the artistic side and the value that you're bringing to the actual movement.
But like Jane Brown say, what's a never you do? It's got to be funky. Got to be funky.
Oh, great movie. Anything else we need to kind of say a pub before we disconnect from the people?
Man, I feel like we didn't gave them a lot. That seems like we need a benediction after this one. Nah, we good. Let's get out of here.
I think we good. But with that being said, me and you, your mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on Vos, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. But I pulled this up, dog. I gotta close with this right here, though. Can I close with one of my favorite verses?
If you know it.
And he kept asking me what kind of car you drive. I know you paid. I know you got all the buku holes from all the songs that y'all done made. And I replied, I had been going through the same thing that he had. True, I got more fans than the average man, but not enough loot to last me. To the end of the week, I live by the beat, by the gear, little check to check. If you don't move your feet, then you don't eat, then I don't, then we like them tonight. Yes, we done come a long way like them Slim Ass cigarettes from Virginia. This ain't going to stop, so we going to continue, me and you.
And I already know how this gonna end. We about to hear about this.
Rolling down the strip, bones, coming up, slamming Cadillac. Though. We out of here.
Out of here, free love. Sorry, you gotta pardon me. Pardon me, I'm speaking it awkwardly. Charles Barkley, barking, they ain't biting. I'm getting that green broccoli. Properly giving props to the problem. Fulfill prophecy. It's like, it gotta be better than that. It gotta be awesome. Niggas rolling the dice and this ain't Monopoly. My purpose was to do it on purpose. Fucking apology. Fucking apology. Yeah. 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 Yeah.